Now, from boxing to horse racing, golf to hockey, athletics, soccer and most recently camogie and ladies football, women in sport have finally attracted the sort of attention and coverage long denied. The recent UEFA Women's Euro final between England and Germany was the most watched soccer match ever in the UK, with a peak TV audience of over 17 million on BBC. But to maintain and build on the achievements of the Harringtons and the Blackmores, the women of Kilkenny and Meath, women's sport needs support and money. Jack Chambers, TD, is Minister of State with responsibility for sport, and thank you for coming to studio this morning, Minister.
Morning,
is there a plan to capitalise on the achievements of our women sporting heroes and encourage Irish girls to both play and stay playing sport?
There absolutely is, and we've seen huge progress over the last number of years, as you've mentioned, with incredible success. The attendance figures at the ladies' final, the spectators, the viewing figures, obviously the Euros over in the UK brought phenomenal levels of interest, and we've seen massive growth in the last 20 years in participation around grassroots for girls, and really strengthening those pathways right through to the high performance system is something we're anxious to build on. So we have a ring fenced fund for women in sport. One thing I was anxious to do as Minister for Sport was to ensure that female participation was at the core of how we invested in capital infrastructure. So that was a key part of the scoring system when it came to the 150 million euro fund last year. That'll have a huge impact on building the facilities and infrastructure to strengthen women's sport. Also, the equalising of funding for female and male Gaelic players, and we trebled funding for female Gaelic players, which I think was an important signal to girls that are playing our Gaelic games, that we want to ensure there's parity of esteem and equality of treatment. And we're keen to build on the success of Kelly Harrington. Mm-hmm. We had Leona Maguire only last weekend in Muirfield, and you know, top five finish, and Ellen Keane and many others, and really allow the next generation who are inspired by the current athletes in across so many sports to really build that participation.
It's a window of opportunity, Minister. Funding, you say, ring-fenced. How much?
So we've in terms of the Women in Sport Fund, we've a 4 million euro fund, which is an increase of 3 million from 3 million euro. But right through all the funding streams, so for example, we've increased funding from 120 million euro a number of years ago to 180 million euro this year. And the core, through all the core funding streams, female participation in sport is a key aspect, from the local sports partnerships right the way through to what we're announcing today, a 25 million euro fund for governing bodies. And a key part of that, and what we're announcing today, is that by the end of 2023, we expect sporting organisations to have 40% female participation on their boards. So to really...
Where are they at the moment?
So there's a mixed picture. There's about 39 are at over 30%, 19 are at over 40%, but there are some that are still way below 30%, and for me that's not an acceptable position.
And then of course within GAA you have three organisations. You have the ladies football, you have camogie and you have the GAA. Do they need to be coalesced in one?
Well, we've obviously they've had motions at their various at across three organisations to really build that momentum and around how they can look at themselves as one organisation. We've seen the one club model work really well on the ground, where all the organisations are working together in the interest of everyone in the community, and that's ensured really brilliant female participation in sport.
You have power, of course, because you hold the purse strings and you give the money, so you can make demands here.
That's why when it comes to board level, we're ensuring that 40% female representation by the end of 2023, and we're sending out that signal today in terms of the key objective that government expects sporting organisations to move on. But I think the GAA, the LGFA and the Camogie Association, in fairness to them all, are all anxious to make progress in this area, and I think, you know, they'll have discussions now on how they can work more collaboratively, and they've made big progress on this in the last number of years.
And will you hold them to account?
Well, in fairness, to be fair to their levels of participation, we've seen big progress on the ground, but we do need to see them continue to work closer together and see what type of structure could evolve across the three associations.
I'm just thinking, and I support that. You know, in relation to boxing, you have cut the funding by 15% there. Yeah. I don't know if there have been any developments since, but could you do the same in relation to other sporting clubs if they don't step up to those numbers at board level?
Well, if there isn't And if sporting organisations don't meet the 40% requirement by the end of 2023, there'll be have to be an action plan developed with Sport Ireland and a financial plan. So if they don't hit the 2023 targets by the end of that year, then there will be financial consequences for sporting organisations. We want to ensure that the board level reflects what we're seeing at grassroots and that we have proper female representation right across the sporting system.
Any developments with amateur boxing?
So we're awaiting, there's ongoing engagement between Sport Ireland and the Irish Athletic Boxing Association, and we're awaiting an updated position from them on what their governance reforms will be. We gave them 2 months, we're 1 month through that, and we've yet to get a proposal from them on how they're going to update their governance issues.
A couple of other matters. The Ladies Gaelic Football Association has said it's developing a policy around transgender players. This comes, of course, a week after objections to a transgender woman playing in a Shield final in Dublin. What is your position? What is the government position on trans women in sport?
So obviously this is a complex area being discussed by sporting organisations right across the world and indeed here in Ireland. And any sporting organisation will have to examine their own rules as it applies to their own sporting context. And Sport Ireland will assist sporting organisations as they go through that process. And it's important that there's a calm, respectful and sensitive conversation by all sporting organisations as they have that discussion and develop a policy in response to as it relates to their own sport.
And as you are Minister for Sport, I mean, and there has been a call for the FAI, the IRFU, the GAA to come forward with proposals and suggestions around the housing of Ukrainian refugees. And we know Mayo and the Connaught Dome is unable, they've said, to facilitate at this stage. Have you had any success with sporting clubs offering facilities?
Well, as you know, the Aviva was used for some short-term accommodation, and there is ongoing engagement between the Department of Children and many of the sporting organisations, and indeed with Sport Ireland, who have some state facilities. And we want to ensure not only the sport can play a potential role if there is spare capacity within
the accommodation. Has anybody yet come forward, though, and said, well, yes, we have a facility,
well, the
we
IRFU,
have a building?
The IRFU did.
Beyond that, and the other organisations?
Well, what I would say, there's ongoing engagement between Department
Nothing
of Children.
Yet.
But I would say as well, what sport has come forward with has been an incredible community response to.
I know, but they will need roofs over their heads.
That is true, and Department of Children are working through that presently.
But
with
so
and,
far,
and
the IRFU has been the lone
the
sporting
has,
body.
But I just think it's important to recognise our sporting communities who've played an incredible role in responding to those fleeing the war in Ukraine and have really built that social cohesion
and
provided a very welcoming response to all those.
Minister Jack Chambers, thank you for coming into us this morning.
Mike.